8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios on a Wednesday evening, a little hump day action. Don't know if I necessarily planned it to be this way, but a little first half NFL and the kind of second half of the show will be a little bit more college football. In next segment, we're going to talk about the AP poll and kind of some of the takeaways that I had from that, and a couple other news pieces of news there in college football, including a new starting quarterback for one SEC team that was just announced. We'll talk about that in about 20 minutes. At 8:40, we'll combo the PM Power Ranking and Outside the Perimeter. Jason Longshore at 9 o'clock. And then we'll break down the Week 2 schedule in college football there at 9:20. But before we do all that, we want to break down the Week 1 schedule. I got one thought on every game. We've already talked about the Atlanta Falcons, and so I'll be skipping that game. But every other game, I got one thought, and I'm excited for Week 1. A lot of solid matchups. Really not a ton of, like, necessarily, like, this is so obvious that this team's going to win, this team's going to lose. There's, you know, a couple out there that you maybe expect in that manner, but we'll see how it happens. But kicks off tomorrow night, figuratively and literally, with the Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. A couple questions I have. What are the Chiefs doing at receiver? We obviously know about Mr. Kelce out there, but it sounds like there's been no issues with Rashe Rice and that he is going to play. No suspension there, but obviously Hollywood Brown out injured, not going to play in this one. And we'll see if Xavier Worthy can have the impact that he's supposed to have. But the bigger question for me is about the Ravens. Obviously, they got to get over the hump and beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at some point. They'd probably rather do it in the playoffs than tomorrow night, but they'll take what they can get. What's the workload for Derrick Henry? Is this a guy that's going to be asked to carry the ball 20 to 30 times in the regular season? Or do you save him up a little bit? Maybe work closer to 12 and 15 and hope he can be there when you need to carry 20, 25, 30 times in the playoffs. I'm interested in the workload for Derrick Henry. Friday night, Green Bay Packers, Philadelphia Eagles. Which of these teams is the real contender in the NFC? A couple of changes made at coordinator for the Eagles. Did they pay off? And could Jordan Love repeat the season that he had a year ago, a breakout? It's led to a big contract. Can he repeat and look like that dude, the franchise quarterback for the Packers? Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills. What am I looking for? Who's going to step up and be the Bills' number one receiver? Gabe Davis leaves. Stephon Diggs is gone. You got the rookie, Keon Coleman. Khalil Shakir is another option. And then James Cook at running back. How much more are they going to try and run the ball? Because it has been relatively non-existent in recent years, with the exception of quarterback Josh Allen. Can they run the ball in a more traditional sense for the Bills? And then in terms of the Cardinals, just in general, a little bit excited to see Marvin Harrison. Haven't seen much of him since he left the Ohio State University. Titans at Bears. Is Caleb Williams the real deal? He's got a bunch of talent around him on offense. Plenty of receivers. Is he the real deal? And the Titans are like a dark horse for me. I really like the offseason they've had. They add Calvin Ridley. They add L'Jarius Sneed. Can they actually compete in the AFC? And is Will Levis holding them back? I think that's the big issue for them. I don't trust Will Levis. New England Patriots, Cincinnati Bengals. What's the status of Ja'Marr Chase? I know he returned to practice today, but how close to 100% can he be? He hasn't really done much. And so I'm interested to see that. And then in terms of the Bengals, what's their run game look like without Joe Mixon? I don't have much for the Patriots. How long is Jacoby Brissett going to last as starting quarterback would be the question. Both from a performance standpoint, but also from a physical standpoint. I mean, that offensive line is set to let him get lit up. So we'll keep an eye on when we see Drake May. Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. I wonder if this is a bigger game in the AFC South than many people want to admit. I think we all know what the Texans can be based on their playoff run last year. Obviously, C.J. Stroud needs to repeat that effort, as does his receivers. What are the Colts looking like, though? Anthony Richardson's already had a couple of issues with the shoulder this offseason. Is he good to go? Is he 100%? And if so, what does that mean for the Colts offensively? Jonathan Taylor, can he stay healthy? Are the Colts going to be better than maybe we think? I'm interested to see this one. Jaguars at Dolphins. Can the Jaguars compete with the top teams in the AFC? I think we all expect the Dolphins to be off and running here on Sunday, right? Mostert and Achan, Hill and Waddle, and Tua. The offense should be ready to roll. They lost a lot on defense. How big of a step back did the Dolphins take defensively? But for the Jaguars, with no Calvin Ridley, what are they looking to do offensively? Very interested in the Jaguars. Can they run up and down the field with the Dolphins? Panthers and Saints, NFC South battle. I don't have a ton of questions about the Saints. I mean, I do have a lot of questions about the Saints, don't get me wrong. But in terms of this game, if I had to give you one thought for this game, it's about Bryce Young. What sort of steps has been taken forward for him with new head coach and offensive-minded Dave Canales? Are they going to run like a legitimate offense in the NFC now? They got Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen. Hey, that's kind of it. I mean, what are they going to be? Because the defense is probably taking a step back with no Brian Burns. Very interested to see that, but Saints hosting the Panthers. Minnesota Vikings and New York Giants. What do the Giants look like without Saquon? They need to have their young receivers step up to help Daniel Jones. I'm talking about Malik Nabers, but also Jalen Hyatt, who really didn't have the breakout that maybe we thought he would coming out of Tennessee. Again, it is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. Talking about the week one schedule in the NFL. What interests me thus far? We've gone through most of the schedule. We're now on to the 4-0-5 games. Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. For me, it's about Justin Herbert. He's not on the injury report today, but that plantar fascia, it's just so unpredictable in regards to when it could be a problem. And don't forget, and so we got Taylor Heinicke there now, right? Taylor Heinicke, ready to roll. I don't know if he's actually going to serve as the secondary backup there or if it is going to be Easton Stick. But I told people for a while he needed to get over there because Easton Stick's
Easton
a bum.
Had a horrible preseason.
He's a bum.
Too.
He's terrible. And so I actually think Taylor Heinicke will be the backup. But I think for them, I'm waiting to see if Justin Herbert is fine. And then for the Raiders, I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, all right. I guess you hope that Devontae just catches a couple deep touchdowns. Like, that's the offense.
Or you get a nice haul for Devontae when you trade him away eventually because he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, that too. That too. Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks. Surprisingly, I'm most interested in Bo Nix in this one. First start on the road, newly minted captain along with others there. Of the Broncos, and a big offseason, or a big preseason, pardon me, for Bo Nix. Interested in that. Dallas Cowboys and Cleveland Browns. Probably could have been Sunday Night Football. A little surprise considering it's the Cowboys that it's not. But 425 national game. Here's the question, because I think both of these teams have defenses that can win them a Super Bowl. Here's the question for both the Cowboys and the Browns. Which team's offense can make them the true contender? The questions for the Browns certainly going to be about Deshaun Watson. They've added Jerry Jeudy to Amari Cooper. Nick Chubb is going to be out for a couple of games. And then the Cowboys, just how succinct can they be? CeeDee Lamb's got the payday. What do they got in the run game? Welcoming Zeke Elliott back into the fold. Washington Commanders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaden Daniels' first start, just how electric is he? And can he stay healthy? I know they made a big deal in D.C. about him not practicing sliding. Not that he doesn't know how to slide, but that he doesn't practice sliding. Is he able to get through a season? Is he able to get through game one? And for the Buccaneers trying to run it back, what does it look like? Interested there. All right, Sunday night football, Los Angeles Rams, Detroit Lions. Kind of got the Stafford facing his old team, Jared Goff facing his old team. Jared Goff, though, facing his old squad, probably is the favorite. I haven't looked at the line, but I have to imagine the Lions are favored at home in this game on Sunday night football. L.A. Rams are trying to kind of hold on to being contenders. I don't know if they really are, especially not without Aaron Donald, but I'm never going to count out Sean McVay. Matthew Stafford should be back healthy. If not, it is Stetson Bennett because Jimmy Garoppolo is suspended for a couple of games. So keeping an eye on that. And then Monday night football, the final game of week one, the New York Jets at the San Francisco 49ers. One thought about this one is all about the quarterback for the Jets. Is Aaron Rodgers going to last one game, one half, one drive, like first drop back? And that's pretty much what it took last season.
If
one
that
drop
happens,
back.
Do you think he just calls it quits? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do. And I know there's like this idea that like he'll fight his way back. He doesn't want to go out like that. That doesn't want to be his. But like, and by the way, I don't think it's going to happen like that. But yeah, like if he has that sort of injury again. Yeah, you got to call it there. So, all right, that is week one in the books for the NFL. Well, the preview of week one, the actual games to be played coming up. Real quick, an Atlanta Braves update. The Braves now up, still up 4-2. Charlie Morton gave up a couple of runs there an inning or two ago, but they are up 4-2. They have just gotten out of the third inning, so they'll be heading to the bottom of the third, up 4-2. Trying to tack on with Olsen, Darnell coming up to the plate. All right, from the NFL to college football, we're switching gears. AP poll was finally released after a couple of teams moved to 2-0. What are the rankings? My observations there and a couple news and notes from the SEC to the ACC and beyond. A lot coming your way still. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. You know, I would probably say we've been scoreboard watching a little bit for a while in Major League Baseball, but probably none closer than what we're doing now. The Braves are up 4-2 right now. They hold a half-game lead over the New York Mets, and the Mets are up 4-3 right now over the Boston Red Sox. The Mets are at home there in the fifth inning, so hoping the Red Sox can find a way to tack on some runs and maybe find a lead in this one. If not, the Braves and Charlie Morton need to hold the lead that they have if they want to remain in the third wild card race, third wild card spot. So we're going to be scoreboard watching all night long, really all week long and all month long, if we're going to be honest. The Braves do play the Mets one more series later this year, this season. So, look, an opportunity, however it may play itself out, to handle business. But it'd be nice to get to that series and not have it matter. We'll see if that's the case, but certainly looking to stay on top, at least in the moment. The Mets have won six straight, so could use them dropping a few here or there, but also be just fine if the Braves handle their business. They have four runs in this one, so you would like to see them be able to win this sort of game against the Colorado Rockies. All right. College football rankings have finally been released. Georgia Tech has played twice. SMU has played twice. Florida State has, they've not looked good two straight times. And the rankings have changed in part because of it. And I had a couple of observations here from the new rankings. First off, you had the Georgia Bulldogs. They're now up to 57 of 63 first-place votes there. They only had 46 preseason first-place votes. Ohio State had 15. Ohio State only had 5 first-place votes after week one. UGA got 57 of 63, so that win over Clemson kind of further confirmed a little bit in the minds of some voters that the Georgia Bulldogs deserve to be the number one team. Notre Dame leapfrogged Ole Miss. They're up to number 5. And then Oregon, with a lackluster win against Idaho, they fell 4 spots to number 7. I do believe Oregon maybe could jump back up, however, if they handle business this week. We're going to talk about the schedule and what Oregon faces in the 9 o'clock hour. USC and Miami, no surprise, they were the two biggest jumpers. USC up from number 23. They beat LSU, and they go up to number 10. And then Miami up from number 19 with a dominant win over Florida. And they go up to number 12. LSU only fell 5 spots down to 18. Clemson fell 11 spots, nearly out of the rankings after Georgia put it on them. They're down at 25. The newcomers into the rankings, number 22, Louisville, and Georgia Tech at 23. Congratulations to the Yellow Jackets for jumping into the rankings. I think it is well-deserved, no matter what you think of Florida State after that beatdown at the hands of Boston College. Florida State, of course, out of the rankings, as is Texas A&M. Some other news is the Heisman race. We have a new favorite in the Heisman race, and I think it is wildly premature. Wildly premature. But Cam Ward, quarterback at Miami, has jumped Dylan Gabriel and is now the favorite, odds-on favorite, to win the Heisman. Behind Dylan Gabriel's Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, Travis Hunter, and then Carson Beck. Look, I think obviously what Cam Ward did in week one over the Florida Gators on the road in the Swamp was impressive. But for him to jump into the favorites, and not just among the favorites, the favorite, I would have to believe that he's capable of that week in, week out. And quite frankly, I don't. I think there were... Let's just say this. I think Miami's performance was less about Miami being a wildly dominant squad and more about Florida being a mess. And I'm not trying to take away from Miami. I think they're probably now the favorites in the ACC. Certainly Florida State. I think it's tough to imagine that you would consider Florida State a favorite. So it's probably Clemson. It's probably Miami. And then, you know, everyone tried to sell me on Virginia Tech. So much for that. But we'll see. I think there was some good, but certainly some bad against Florida for Cam Ward. I just don't think he's going to have that sort of game every single week. But we will see. Another story. Well, let's get to this one first. The Florida Gators have made a change at quarterback, and it was announced within this past hour that DJ Lagway is going to start this week against, and I know it's Samford, but DJ Lagway is going to start at Samford. And quite frankly, this is Billy Napier's only shot. Like, if I'm Billy Napier and I just got embarrassed at home the way that I got embarrassed at home, the only way to even come close to getting some fan interest back is to make that change. And quite frankly, on the hot seat, like Billy Napier is, I'm not going down with Graham Mertz at quarterback when I have the Gatorade Player of the Year in my program. And no disrespect to Graham Mertz.
We'll be starting this week, by the way, there too, yeah.
That's what I just said. That's the whole story. And no disrespect to Graham Mertz, but, like, you can't go down like that if you're Napier. Like, you, that would have been one of the all-time, like, what-ifs, like, instant regrets, like, double think, like, I got fired and I never started the number one recruit that
if
this program's
Lagaway,
had.
Say Lagaway has, like, oh, God, a while. If Lagaway has, like...
Well, it's Samford, so he's going to be fine.
Not just this, but say, like, he ends up starting the rest of the season. Like, he goes out and plays well enough against Samford, and say that Graham Mertz misses the week afterwards too. Is there anything that DJ Lagaway can do good that will save Billy Napier in spite of a bad record?
Yeah. I mean, if it looks like – it depends how the losses go. Here's the problem. The problem isn't that you lost to Miami. The problem is you got – completely outplayed, outcoached, embarrassed at home. If you had lost to Miami 27-24 in a relatively competitive game, But this was a complete program embarrassment.
Well, not just that, too. It was the first game of the season, so you had it a whole offseason.
That's irrelevant. The point is for Florida, we know what the schedule looks like at the end, right? Like, they're not going to win those games. But how competent can you feel with DJ Lagway? Like, to answer your question, Oren, you can lose those games and be competitive and close and have a shot. Maybe win one of them. Like, if you go, like, 1-4 in your last five games. Like, 1-4. Your mic's not on. And
what's the one, then?
If I'd have to look at their schedule, but, like, let's say LSU is ranked 20th. LSU will play their way back into the rankings. I know they dropped out after this loss. They're still in. Sorry. They dropped down. Like, LSU may play their way back into the rankings. Let's say you beat LSU, lose to... Well, see, the other thing is, like, the Florida State game may not be a... Florida State game's not no man's land anymore. Not the way they looked.
I guess not, yeah.
So, I mean, they don't look any better.
That game just got competitive for
Florida.
All right,
we might have just picked up a win at the end of the year. But, yeah, like say you can win one of those. Maybe you surprise Ole Miss. Maybe you could beat LSU. If you beat one of those ranked teams, just be competitive. Like, you can't get embarrassed. Like, Georgia's Georgia. We understand that, right? But if you're Billy Napier, like, your best shot at saving your job is, like, let that be, like, 31-10. Like, I know that's not, like, great, but that's not abysmal. I mean, and that is, like, a full – but what you can't have is that game 53-0, right?
Yeah.
That's what will get you fired. If you could be kind of respectable with Lagway, like, building towards something, the wins, losses isn't the worst thing in the world. You cannot look again like you looked against Miami, which is a team that has no offensive hopes, a team that is a debacle, a team that has lost the fan base. That's the big issue. One more story in college before we get to our next segment here. The Sun Belt, they admitted a replay error in a decision in which Arkansas State scored the game-winning touchdown against Central Arkansas with 2 or 3 seconds left on the game clock. And I guess you have to admit error, but it doesn't make it better. You took this game from Central Arkansas. You're not awarding them a win, are you? What happened was the replay official, Arkansas State had been ruled that they had a receiving touchdown with 2 or 3 seconds left on the clock. And what happened is the replay official did not evaluate the secondary aspect of the catch, the surviving the ground aspect of the catch, and they admitted that it should have been ruled incomplete. When you look at it, it looked incomplete. Like it shouldn't have been that difficult to suggest. But from what they explained, the replay only showed the initial catch and foot down and did not continue through the process. It was very obvious if you watched through the process, it was incomplete. Now, Arkansas State would have had one more play. It would have been from the 7-yard line, but they would have been trailing, right? And if Central Arkansas could have made one more stop, they would have gotten a win. And it's brutal for an FCS squad like Central Arkansas to really have this taken away from them. Maybe they gave up the score on the next play and it wouldn't have mattered, but that's tough. And you have to ask the question, because essentially what happens is it was a scoring play. It's automatically reviewed. There is no communication from the officials on the field to the replay center. Here's what needs to happen. Here's the next step in the evolution of getting these things right. The officials on the field need to be able to discuss directly aspects of the play with the replay booth. They need to be able to say, here's what I saw. Here's what I need you to look at and confirm. Because from what we are led to believe, if the official on the field had said, hey, we ruled it this way, but here's what I saw, can you confirm? Did he hold on to the ball long enough for this to be completed through the process? They would have overturned it, and it would have been incomplete. So there needs to be a line of communication from game officials to the replay officials. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if that's going to be voted on or is the next step, but it certainly would have prevented this problem. And again, really tough for Central Arkansas to, one, lose the game on that call, but then you get doubled down on it because they tell you it shouldn't have gone that way. But hey, tough luck. We're not overturning the result. We're not going to fly y'all back here for one play from the seven. You're just stuck with the L. That's a rough go. Atlanta Braves still up 4-2 in this one. The New York Mets are still up 4-3 in their game, but they are threatening with a man in scoring position. We'll keep an eye on both games as we continue. Again, we're going to have more college football discussion at 9:20. We're going to go over the week two slate of games, a couple really good ones. We'll go through it, including one game at Peacock late at night that I think you'll be sure to want to catch. At 9:20, Jason Longshore is going to join us to chat about some of the big news out of Atlanta United today with the dismissal of Carlos Bocanegra. When we come back, we're going to have to speed run a couple of segments because the PM Power Rankings outside the perimeter, we got to get to both of them. I got a lot to say as well, especially as we get to outside the perimeter. So we'll do that next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight right here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here on a Wednesday evening, and I'm going to be here every Wednesday evening for throughout the football season, or at least until Atlanta Hawks coverage potentially, but a couple of these nights we'll have some Atlanta United midweek action, which I will be here for that as host of the Five Stripes Countdown and the full-time report, the pre- and post-game for Atlanta United, but on Wednesdays where there is no game, you got me for 92.9 The Game tonight, and certainly we'll be running through a lot of the usual stuff, a lot of NFL and college football discussion throughout the course of the football season. Speaking of college football, just got some great news down the line from the Steakhouse tomorrow, 9:20. You're going to want to be tuned in because tomorrow at 9:20, the head coach of the number one ranked team in the land, the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, he's going to be joining the show. Again, that is the Steakhouse tomorrow right here on 92.9 The Game at 9:20. You're definitely going to want to check in. So, I mean, you're talking about what? Within a 16-hour span, 18-hour span, however many hours, you got Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons, and Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. And so that is big-time news there. So really excited to hear what he's got to say tomorrow. And, you know, the big question for Kirby, and we'll talk about this throughout, is the Trevor Etienne suspension. I mean, look, with the breakout of Nate Frazier, with Tennessee Tech as the opponent, if you're really trying to prove a point, could the suspension or whatever you want to call it last the second game? We'll find out. We'll see what Kirby has to say. Again, that is tomorrow at 9:20 there on the Steakhouse. So we'll be tuned in for that. We're going to be talking college football here in just a moment with the PM Power Rankings, but also in our next hour, we'll be breaking down a couple of games in week two there at 9:20. 9:20, see? It's my segment, but also 9:20 tomorrow, probably the bigger listen there with Kirby Smart joining the program. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. We'll start tonight with the PM Power Rankings.
It's time for the PM Power Rankings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm going to be honest. This is probably the last PM Power Rankings in football season. I got one show a week, and I just don't have enough segments. And so this might be the dodo going the way of Jurassic Park. But I have one topic left. Sports and non-sports, so let's go ahead and get to it. The non-sports topic, my top five comedy movie franchises, and I was trying to think, do I want to do stuff that has, you know, I got to change the list on the fly, if we're going to be honest. I just thought of one more I didn't think of, and this one was a little tough. I just kind of went off top of my head. What's going to get bounced? That's the real question. My top five movie comedy movie franchises. We're just going to bounce number five. So number five, my new number five, because I got to put a different one, number one, on the fly. Number five, Neighbors. They had two of them. I liked them both, so that's where you got there. Number four, Scary Movie. Number three, the Vacation series, National Lampoon's Vacation, Christmas Vacation, European Vacation. Number two, Beverly Hills Cop. And then number one, and which I did not put on my rundown, and I literally just thought of it, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. It's probably my favorite. Ace Ventura. Ace Ventura, number one. That is my non-sports topic for tonight's PM Power Rankings, top five comedy movie franchises. And my sports topic tonight, my top five college football upsets of all time. And this is just kind of my list. Everyone's going to have their own list. This isn't necessarily by biggest upset or most shocking or favorite. It's just kind of the five that immediately came to my mind when I thought about college football upsets. And so here we go. Number five, Howard over UNLV. It was at the time and probably still is the largest upset in terms of the spread. Remember, that was when Cam's brother, Kalen, took care of business there at Howard. Number four, I was covering the team closely. I remember when it happened. The South Florida Bulls on the road at Auburn. Take care of business. Number three, my top five college football upsets of all time. Stanford over USC back in 2007. They were like 42-point dogs. Had a big fourth quarter to get that one done. Number two, Boise State over Oklahoma, the Statue of Liberty. And number one, my top college football upset of all time, the debut broadcast of the Big Ten Network. App State takes down Michigan. Those are my top five college football upsets, my top five comedy movie franchises. That is going to do it for the PM Power Rankings here on 92.9 The Game tonight. They may make a return here and there, but for now, we're going to put pause on that as we are in football season. Maybe bye week. Maybe we come back on the bye week and I get some topics down the road. But I'm going to partner the PM Power Rankings today with another discussion I like to do. And this one I am going to keep trying to do, but it got kind of busy tonight. And so we'll see if I can continue to fit it in. But it is time to talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. A segment I call OTP.
It's time for Outside the Perimeter on 92.9 The Game tonight.
All right, as we go outside the perimeter, some news just came across the desk, and that is that Jessica Pegula, the American, takes out top-seeded Iga Swiatek. Emma Navarro is already in the semifinals. She's going to face Sabalenka. And now Jessica Pegula is moving on to the semis as well. So another American makes a run there at Flushing Meadows. And that coincides with the men's draw, which sees Taylor Fritz upset Alexander Zverev. Francis Tiafoe takes down Gregor Dimitrov. Now, those two Americans are going to meet in the semis. So at least one American male is going to be in the finals. We don't know which one. And there's going to be two opportunities for U.S. women to play in the finals at the U.S. Open. Again, Jessica Pegula and Emma Navarro. Emma Navarro is having a very big year, career year for her. DirecTV and ESPN / Disney in a major dispute. Now, I am affected by this. I have DirecTV Stream, and I lost what I needed to have on Sunday night. Now, luckily for me, they were delayed in chopping you at the legs if you were watching on the ESPN app. And so I watched the Braves and USC LSU, but once I changed off of that, it was gone. They didn't cut me midstream like they did on TV. So I had to keep it there. I had to keep it locked. But it's gone now. And obviously with college football coming up, with the NFL, Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC, Manny Cast on ESPN2. You could be without if you have AT&T UVerse or DirecTV Stream. And so that's where you go with that. So tough break. And the question now is going to be, how long does it last, right? ESPN/Disney tried this a year ago with I believe it was Charter Spectrum. And they came to an agreement about an hour before kickoff of Monday Night Football. Now, in that instance, they had a week and a half to get a deal done, not a half week. Some of the discussion points and reasonings are different. And I don't want to mislead anyone. I don't want to promise you that it'll be back for Monday Night Football. But I would not be surprised if one of the sides or both cave a little bit in this instance. All right. Trent Williams back with a restructured 3-year deal. He ends his holdout. Ja'Marr Chase returned to practice today. We'll see. Ja'Marr Chase is interesting because I don't know how close to 100% he's going to be. But as a receiver, is it more just about being able to run and avoid injuries? I mean, he doesn't forget the routes. He assumes he knows the playbook. And I know he didn't forget his hands. And so just how dynamic can Ja'Marr Chase be with a very, very minimal ramp-up period? And now the question that's left is Hassan Reddick seems to be the only holdout. How long is that going to last for him? WNBA is expected to announce a expansion franchise in Portland to come about in 2026, an official announcement expected September 10th. Portland had a franchise way back in the day, the Portland Fire. That was from 2000 to 2002, so it did not last long. No word if that's still going to be the name, the Portland Fire, or if they're going to use something else. Scottie Scheffler, recently crowned tour champion. And Rory McIlroy are going to team up to face Liv Golsers, Bryson DeChambeau, and Brooks Koepka in a made-for-TV event in Las Vegas in mid-December. So we'll keep an eye on that. Kind of like the match, although I don't think that's what they're going to call it. And then Broncos cornerback Pat Surtain, a 4-year deal worth $96 million. He becomes the NFL's new highest paid cornerback. And here's what I was trying to explain the other day when it comes to the deal for A.J. Terrell. When all this is said and done, A.J. Terrell's just going to keep bumped and bumped and bumped down the line. And here's the first one, right? Patrick Surtain's going to jump him. And there are going to be a couple of others who will as well. So already, A.J. Terrell went from second highest paid corner on average value to third highest paid corner. And there's going to be at least one more, if not two or three more next year, two or three more the year after that. So it won't be long, is my guess, until he's out of the top 10. So congratulations to Pat Surtain. Certainly has played it and is worth it. But there you go. All right, that is going to do it for Outside the Perimeter. When we come back here on 92.9 The Game tonight, we're going to return back inside the perimeter. There was some really big news today from the Atlanta United franchise, and that was the dismissal of longtime technical director Carlos Bocanegra. I know Garth Lagerwey spoke today, but coming up here in just about 7 minutes, a little under, we'll keep an eye on the Braves and the Rockies as well. But Jason Longshore is going to join me, of course, Atlanta United analyst, host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I know they did the emergency pod, him and Mike Conte as well. But I want to talk about what exactly this means for Atlanta United, how surprised we really should be about this. So coming up next, it is Jason Longshore. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.